Welcome, my fellow humans, to another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast, the show where I teach you how to live healthy, be happy, and lead an all-around full and fulfilled life. With new episodes each and every week, I bring you industry-leading experts, thought leaders, and all-around brilliant minds on topics ranging from mindset to nutrition to habit building to fitness and more. My goal is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be in life. I'm happy to have you here. Now let's dive in. Well, if you've listened to me talk on this podcast enough, or if you've followed my social media or are on my newsletter, then you've heard me talk about self-talk a lot. And it's for good reason. I think that this is one of the most important things that we all need to understand, and that has the biggest amount of leverage in terms of low effort for exponential results. I'm always looking for these big lever points with myself, with my clients, and with anyone that I try to help, right? A lever allows you to move a large object or a large amount of weight with minimal effort. So I'm always looking for lever points. Where can I put in less effort and get more result? Because that's the most ideal situation, right? Of course, you can get a huge result if you put in a ton of effort. That's obvious. Where can we change a lot without making it super hard, without having to reinvent the wheel, so to speak? And something I've come across in my own personal studies, in my own personal development journey, in my reading, in my quest for knowledge and growth, has been the importance of self-talk. Had you met me, or had I been recording this podcast 3, 4, 5 years ago, I would have said, I don't even know what self-talk is. It's some hippy-dippy mumbo-jumbo, and I don't know, why are you even talking to me about this? Just work harder. Just lift weights. Just diet. You know, you may be familiar with the David Gogginses or the Andy Frisellas of the world of, you know, just stop being a little bitch and just man up and just do it and all that stuff. And all that stuff is great. And yet we have all that motivational rah-rah bullshit out there. There's infinite YouTube videos and infinite podcasts and infinite whatever else out there telling you, yeah, just do it, just man up, just go. And yet the world is not doing it. And yet 60% of American adults are overweight or obese and dying from things like heart disease and diabetes and other lifestyle diseases, and can't do a body weight squat, and not eating healthy even though they say they want to, and not exercising even though they say they want to, and not starting their business even though they say they want to, and not working on their relationship even though they say they want to. So clearly there's a disconnect between the things that people say that they want and the things that the quote unquote motivational gurus, one might call them, are putting out there. And to me, that difference is self-talk. Self-talk is what we say to ourselves in our head, in our moments of silence. It's the way we think about ourselves to ourselves. In my course, Mindset Shift, which is all about flipping your motivation switch so that you no longer go through cycles of I'm motivated, then I'm not motivated, and I'm so motivated, then I'm not motivated, and I start, then I stop, and I start, then I stop. And to help people understand human motivation so they can get out of that yo-yo cycle, I start week one all about self-talk, because that's how important I think it is. I think that this is the foundation that everything else is built on. And again, a few years ago, I did not think that was the case. A few years ago, I didn't even understand the importance of self-talk, but it's come so full circle for me because now I understand that there is literally nothing more important. If you think about and understand how much other people's words affect you, right? Many people are still dealing with trauma from something that their mom or dad said to them when they were 12, or something that a teacher said to them, sometimes even in an offhanded way, that has just stuck with them and shaped who they are as a person. I recently read a book called Personality Isn't Permanent by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. It's an amazing book. I think that everyone should read. But he tells a story in this book about meeting a woman at a conference who was in her 60s. And she mentioned to him, "Oh, I always wanted to write children's books, but I can't because I can't draw." And he asked, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, you have to have art and be able to draw to write kids' books. And since I can't draw, I just can't do it." And he said, "What do you mean that you can't draw?" And basically, through talking to her, found out that when this woman was a child, you know, in elementary school or, you know, junior high school, she had been in an art class. And while everyone was drawing, her teacher came around to her and, while she was drawing, made some corrections on her paper. This woman, girl at the time, felt very embarrassed because she was the only one that the teacher called out like that. The teacher did not go around to everyone's paper and cross out and say, "Oh, you messed up here." She only came to this one girl. And in that moment, that girl had a story planted in her head. The story was, "This teacher said that I can't draw. I cannot draw. I am not an artist." And now that story became perpetuated over the next 50 years and kept her from ever trying even to do the thing she wanted to do, from accomplishing her dream of being a children's writer, which isn't even an artist, but she stopped herself from doing it because of her story in her head. The self-talk she had, the story she told was, "I can't draw." But that was from a seed that was planted from an otherwise innocuous act of her teacher correcting her. I'm sure that in that moment, her teacher was not correcting her to say, "You are not an artist. You will never be an artist. You cannot draw. You should give up all thoughts of ever drawing for the rest of your life for the next 50 years. And yet, that is how we work as humans. A small offhand comment, "You're dumb," from your brother or your dad, who someone that you look up to, "Why are you even trying," from a person in power early on in your life, can stay with you for a very long time. But again, that is the seed that is planted. What grows the seed is our self-talk over time, because we talk to ourselves more than any person could ever talk to us. This is why this is so important. We have far more influence than any person could ever have over us because of the sheer volume of interactions that we have with ourselves. Whether we realize it or not, whether we admit it or not, whether we understand it or not, we are constantly in a state of self-talk. We are always thinking. We are always thinking to ourselves. We are always verbalizing to ourselves. We are always making decisions to ourselves. So while, again, a mother, a boss, a principal, a teacher, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, whoever, could certainly say something that could have a huge amount of influence on us, they could say something that could stay with us for years and years, that could influence everything about who we are as a person, the real reason that becomes so influential to us is because of our own self-talk perpetuating the thing that they said, because we ruminate on it, because we go over it and over it, because we always think about it and have it in the back of our heads, right? If a teacher told me, "You're bad at art," and I never think about it again and I forget about it the second that it's said, then it's not going to affect me. However, if my teacher says, "You're bad at art," And now every time someone says, okay, class, let's break out the markers and pencils because it's art time today, my immediate thought is, but I'm not good at art. Like my teacher said, but I'm not good at art, but I'm bad at art, but I can't do art. Now I have perpetuated that tiny little thought, and I'm continuing to water that seed and allowing it to grow into that mighty oak tree that is going to then have a huge, huge, huge effect and impact on my life, on my decision-making going forward. So then we see that how other people talk to us affects us, and then our self-talk becomes even more important because it's so pervasive. It's every day, right? That's the point. Your teacher can make an offhanded comment and they're gone. They're not with you whispering in your ear every moment of the day. We are in our own brain talking to ourselves so many times. And what gets repeated gets remembered, right? Remember that. What gets repeated gets remembered. I just said it twice so that you can remember it. Because the more repetitions, the more it gets drilled into our brain. So in that example, again, hearing it one time from the teacher may or may not do anything unless we are then repeating it over to ourselves. I use this example in my course Mindset Shift about a time I was out to dinner with my then girlfriend a few years ago. And, you know, we had dinner at this restaurant and we had a full, you know, 3-4 course meal, whatever it was. And we had appetizers and we had dinner and drinks and then dessert. And everything was good. The appetizers were good. The dinner was good. The drinks were good. And then we got dessert, and dessert was just like, like it wasn't anything special. It wasn't anything to write home about. But then we left. All in all, the experience was overall enjoyable because, again, appetizers, good. Dinner, good. Drinks, good. Ambiance, good. Company, good. But the dessert was And then the next day, you know, a coworker asked me about it. And they're like, oh, how was dinner last night? And I was like, it was all right. Because in my head, on the way home, talking to my girlfriend, we had talked about not the appetizers or the dinner. We had talked about the dessert and how it was. And then in my head, the story that I was telling myself was that the dessert was meh, and it wasn't anything special. And then when I told the story again to him, the whole experience became meh, and it wasn't anything special. And then a week later, I heard my girlfriend on the phone with her mom, and she was talking about the restaurant we went to, and she was like, it just wasn't that good. But again, was it that the whole experience wasn't that good? I thought that, again, percentage-wise, 90% of the experience was good. It was just the last 10% that wasn't. But then because she and I were talking about it, because of the story that we began to tell about that it was a negative dessert became a negative full experience, it changed the entire narrative of the experience. Our memory of that dinner literally became shaped by the story that we were telling each other and telling ourselves. And the more we repeated it, the more negative it got because we emphasized that point. There's something to be said here about what's called the negativity bias. And this is important as well because understand that as humans, this is our natural inclination. We are naturally inclined to pay more attention to the negative aspect of things. This comes, as all things do, from an evolutionary biological imperative, meaning our brain is more inclined to pay attention to negative things because negative things are potentially dangerous, right? Everything that we do comes from, in an evolutionary sense, when we were cavemen and hunters and gatherers and still had to fight for survival. Right now, no one's fighting for survival. If you're listening to this podcast on an iPhone, you're not fighting for your survival. But there was a time in human history where there was a very real chance of starving to death, or of getting eaten by a predator, or of freezing to death, or whatever else. So our brains learned as a evolutionary tactic to better our chances of survival to remember negative things. It had to remember that berry bush is poison. Over there is where the lion lives. Over there is where that swamp is that someone drowned in the other day. We should stay away from that area. So our brain learns to pay more attention to negative things, which is why at the end of that dinner, it was 90% good and 10% negative. And then a few hours later, it was a little bit more meh. And then a day later, it was an all right experience. And then a week later, it was a crappy experience. Nothing about the experience changed. What changed was, A, we paid more attention to the negative aspect. And then B, through our repetition and stories and self-talk and literal talk, because we talked between us, my girlfriend and I at the time, and through our constant repetition, which is quite often happening subconsciously, meaning we don't realize that it's happening. I'm not saying that you're sitting there over and over repeating, that dinner sucked, that dinner sucked, that dinner sucked. I'm just saying that when it does pop into our heads, we think of, oh, that wasn't that great. And then that wasn't that great. That was pretty crappy. Man, that sucked. A little and little and little. And again, what gets repeated gets remembered. And now all of a sudden, that is the story that is stuck in our head. So far, two important points that I really need to hammer home to you. One is that self-talk is extremely powerful because of its pervasiveness in our day-to-day life, meaning how often it happens. We are always with ourselves. We are always with our brain. I am me every second of the day. I can't overemphasize how important that is, because if someone else was standing next to you telling you shitty things all day, whispering in your ear, hey, you're stupid. Hey, you're less than. Hey, you can't do it. You tell that person, hey, fuck off, right? And yet, when we do it to ourselves, we just allow it to happen. Then also understand that we have a natural proclivity as humans to focus on negative things. So now, our natural biological imperative is to focus on the negative, because 1,000 years ago, we needed it as a survival tactic, as a survival mechanism. And yet, here we are in the year 2021, when I'm recording this. Maybe you're listening to this in 2024, I don't know. But as of recording this, we are not in dire straits anymore. We are not fighting for survival. So this natural inclination towards focusing on negativity becomes a major actual deterrent, because it drives us towards some of the things that we see in society today, such as depression, anxiety, right? A lot of this cataclysmic thinking, everything is bad, the world is ending, yada, 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 because the world isn't that bad. There's a lot of good out there. For every bad thing, there's a lot of nonsense out there, but there's a lot of great stuff out there too. But we focus on the negative because we have that biological inclination to do so, and then our self-talk just perpetuates it. If it was just, again, a whisper of that sucked one time, it wouldn't be that way. But it's the constant repetition that makes it, right? If, again, leaving that same dinner that was enjoyable for the first 90% and then less than enjoyable for the last 10%, my girlfriend and I said, wow, that dessert wasn't that good. And then the next words out of our mouths were, but wasn't the appetizer amazing? And wasn't the entree so, so good? And then on the drive home, we discussed the entree and the ambiance. And then the next day when my coworker said, how was dinner yesterday? I said, oh my God, the steak was to die for. And oh my God, the appetizers, so good. We shared them, we laughed, we drank wine, we giggled. By the time I told that story next time, it wouldn't have been, yeah, dinner was meh. It would have been like, oh my God, that dinner was amazing. It was great. You should go there. I loved it. I had such a great experience. I wouldn't even remember the less than optimal dessert, because it would have been wiped away by my positive self-talk. And therein lies the power of self-talk. We get to write the story. you cannot change the past. You can't change how that dinner actually was. The entree, the appetizer, they were what they were. The dessert was what it was. What I can change is how I feel about it going forward. And that drives my actions moving into the future. Understanding that memories are not finite. They are not set in stone. Right? People think like, well, it happened. It was what it was. The dessert was shit. You can't change that. But that's not really the case. Our memories are not real, right? There's no movie screen playing in your head with a film of the memory. They're just things. They don't actually exist. Memories, thoughts, all of this stuff is just weird electrical impulses going through our brain that we truly don't understand even at this point, which is weird. But it's also kind of cool because it's like we can influence these things. We can literally control them. We can control our thoughts. We can control our memories, right? That memory can be a positive or a negative for me, depending on how I want to guide it. This can be seen when we look at eyewitnesses in court testimonies and crimes, because for many, many years, eyewitnesses were seen as the gold standard for jury trials and for locking up criminals and for whatever else, right? Someone committed a crime and they had a witness, they put him on a stand. It was him, Your Honor. He did it. And they'd point to the person and that person would go to jail. And now, as you may know, or any expert will tell you, and you can definitely find lots of evidence to point to this, eyewitnesses are the worst type of evidence. Humans are incredibly fallible. Our memories are horrible. We do not know anything that we're talking about. For exactly the reason that I just said, these memories do not really exist. They can be influenced very much. So almost always, when people have eyewitness testimony, it's flawed in some way. In the same way as when I had that memory of my dinner being like it wasn't actually, it was a great dinner that I had tainted in my own brain from my negative self-talk. So all of this is to say self-talk is important. So now understanding that, what can we do about it? The first thing, and again, I talk about this a lot in my course, Mindset Shift. If you're interested in that, I will have a link in my bio. I'm talking Instagram talk. I'll have a link in the show notes to connect with me or DM me on Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook or wherever. Just connect and ask me about it and I will send you information. But the first step is awareness, right? A lot of people, they hear stuff like this, self-talk or something like that, but it's like, what does it even mean? So I'm hopeful that this first few minutes kind of broke down the understanding of why this is so important and how powerful it can be in shaping our lives and guiding our lives and understanding that even if you don't believe in it or don't want to believe in it or don't care about it, it is affecting you. And that's why it's so important, right? There's certain things you can be like, I don't really care about that, but this doesn't care about your opinion. You not believing in it, you not wanting to believe in it, you not wanting to work on it, doesn't matter. It's going to affect you. This will shape your life. It is shaping your life. It has shaped your life and it will continue to. So you might as well get out ahead of it, get into the driver's seat and start to take advantage of it and use it to as a positive driving force rather than a negative one. So how do we do that? The first biggest step to me is affirmations. Affirmations are so powerful because they're just self-talk that we decide, right? Meaning, I said before, a lot of this self-talk, almost all of it, goes on subconsciously, right? When that art teacher said to that young woman, you can't do art. Now, every time someone talked about art, she had a little script run in her head. You can't do art. You suck at art. You're bad at art. And that played over and over. What gets repeated gets remembered. Now, because she repeated it so often subconsciously, when she thinks about doing art, she goes, I can't do art. I suck. I won't try. How can we flip the script? Well, we take action. We play offense, and we do that by creating our own affirmations. So take that same woman. If she had an affirmation of, I am an artist, I create great visual art, I create amazing works of art for children that they love and enjoy. And she said that to herself 3 times a day, every day for the last 50 years. Now, when someone asked her, hey, do you want to draw for this children's book? Or do you want to write a children's book and illustrate it yourself? Instead of having the story that was, you can't do art, because that's what's been playing in her subconscious, she will have literally overloaded that, outweighed it with her own positive affirmation of, yes, I do art. Yes, I draw. Yes, I am an artist. And now she will be much more likely to take that action because she doesn't have that negative self-talk in the back of her mind saying, you can't do this. She has the thought, literally the exact opposite of, I can do this. It's a fact. To our brain, as I just said, memories, thoughts, they're the same thing. There is no tape. There is no movie screen. There is just what we think in our head. I can create a memory just like I can create a thought. So by creating these thoughts and memories, by affirming them over and over, by saying this stuff, it becomes real in my head. It becomes just as real to me, to my brain, as it actually happening in the past was. Visualization is real, right? They've done studies with this with elite athletes where they had basketball players shooting free throws, practicing shooting free throws, and then they had other basketball players who envisioned themselves shooting free throws, meaning not actually shooting the ball, just closing their eyes and envisioning it. And then they tested their free throw percentage. And the visualization group had just as much, if not more, improvement as the actual free throw group, meaning visualizing the thing is just as real to us as doing the thing. Now, I'm not saying that it takes the place of practice. If you want to be good at basketball, you still have to practice basketball. But visualization, affirmation, has a real place in changing the way your brain works. So if you want to make positive change, this is the place to start. Because again, coming back to what I said in the beginning, the lever this allows you, meaning there is no cost to this. There is no negative to this. There's no reason not to. If I said, hey, you have to go shoot 100 free throws a day, you might go, well, I don't have time. I don't have a basketball court. I don't have the ability or the financial time to take off of work or whatever. But if I said you have to visualize yourself doing it, there's no reason not to. There's nothing to hold you back from that. There's nothing that you can't do about that literally every day. So whatever the thing is that you want to change, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your financial situations, whether it's your health, your happiness, your fitness, your weight, it doesn't matter. You can start with affirming it. I am the type of person who does this. I do this. I am this person. And you say it over and over and over until it becomes the thing that your brain believes. By constant repetition, you will remember it. And by remembering it, it becomes real, right? Just like an eyewitness on the stand will sit and swear, I saw that person. I know that they did it. And then DNA evidence will come out 20 years later proving that they didn't. Well, was that person lying? No, they remembered it. To them, that memory was real. It was just a false memory. And that's what we're doing here. You can implant false memories into your brain, but in a positive way. You can say, I do this. I am this, right? I am a person who eats healthy. I do not give up on my diets. I go to the gym 5 days a week. I do this. I do that. And we continually repeat, repeat, repeat until it becomes a reality in our brain. All we are doing is using what's already there in our brain, these natural inclinations to repeat these things and to adhere to the things that we repeat and using them to our advantage. So again, action steps for today. Create a set of affirmations around whatever you are trying to do. So again, if there is a business goal you can have business affirmations. If it's just life stuff in general, you can have life affirmations, fitness affirmations, health affirmations. Put them in a place where you'll see them every day. This is the very first step I do with every client that I work with, is have them write out affirmations, put them on sticky notes, and put them where they will see them first thing in the morning every single day and read them out loud. If this is something that you're struggling with, I have actually created a short 3-minute affirmation audio that I will send you for free, and you can just play in the morning. If you don't want to write it out, if you're having trouble thinking about, well, what the hell would I even say? What affirmations would I use? Just click the link in the show notes, and you will get a short 3-minute audio that you can just literally play each morning and let my soft, soothing voice affirm for you. You don't have to overthink it or do anything. You do it while you're brushing your teeth. That's what I do. I have an audio that I play as I'm brushing my teeth and flossing every morning. So in the 4 minutes it takes me to brush my teeth and floss, I listen to my affirmations every single morning. I also have other ones that I read out loud, but that's a great place to start. It doesn't have to be complicated, but this stuff is so powerful. And again, such a huge lever for you that there's no reason that you should not be doing it. And again, there's a reason that I start my course week one, day one, stories and self-talk. And there's a reason that every client that I work with in a one-on-one coaching capacity, the very first thing we do is affirmations and self-talk. This stuff cannot be overstated. So if you're interested in getting those affirmations, just click the link in the show notes. It's completely free, and I hope you enjoy them. If you're interested in learning more about Mindset Shift, my course, please connect with me on Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook or wherever, and I will send you information on that. And if you're interested on becoming one of my few one-on-one coaching clients, please reach out to me and DM me coaching, and we can talk about that as well, because this stuff is real. This stuff is not easy. And having someone in your corner being educated and understanding the power of all of the stuff that we're going to talk about is invaluable in your journey for personal growth, for personal development, for health, for fitness, for happiness, for wellness, for whatever else you're seeking. So I hope that this helped. I hope that you kind of understand the importance of self-talk and why we need to understand it. And I hope that this simple action step of creating some affirmations to use on a daily basis is something that you will put into action right now and move forward with, because I promise you, if you stay consistent with this and actually do it every day, don't read the affirmations once and be like, well, it didn't help, my life isn't any different. Obviously not. Every morning, do it for a month, do it for 2 months, and just really, really make this a thing. It's so easy. It's so easy, guys. Please. I'm not asking you to go run a marathon. I'm asking you to read some post-it notes for a minute each morning, or to listen to me talk for 2 minutes each morning. It's really, really simple. So I hope this helps. Please, as always, share this, screenshot this, send this to a friend, send them that download if you get value out of it. And as always, stay healthy and stay happy.